Listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes now to uncover the world's darkest truths. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Junkies with you on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. We thank you for tuning in this Wednesday morning, August 20th, 2025. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle.
Morning.
Morning. And Johnny Cakes Auville.
Hello, everybody. Hope all is well with you.
How were your birthday celebrations, if there were any?
It was good. It's just kind of muted. Did some takeout. It wasn't a cake. I requested, this is a delicious dessert for those that have, the uninitiated, slutty brownies are a 15 out of 10.
I'm not sure what that is.
Well, slutty brownies are just a brownie base with like chocolate chips and Oreos mixed in. I mean, it's probably the most unhealthy thing on the planet, but my daughter made it and it was delicious and I enjoyed it as my post birthday dinner of wings. That will shock nobody. I know nobody in the audience is shocked that I chose wings as my birthday dinner. With ranch, of course. No blue cheese. Blue cheese gets the Dikembe Mutombo. Gets that treatment.
I don't order wings like I used to, like when I was in college or whatever. It's just not a big thing for me. I probably sleep on it. Probably
I
should
order them
more.
Pretty consistently.
You do? How often do you think you have wings? A couple times a month?
On average, yeah, probably a couple, two, three times a month.
Where's your go-to wing spot?
I mean, it varies. I mean, I love Lito's wings. They're damn good. The wings at Norbeck are good. I shake it up. I fancy myself a little bit of a wing connoisseur.
You're a wings guy.
I'm kind of a wings expert.
Yeah. And you don't mind spicy wings?
They don't need to be like nuclear spicy hot.
Yeah.
I'm a wings purist. I like me some buffalo wings.
Right.
I can dabble with some Old Bay. I can even do barbecue. You can even throw some garlic parm wings my way. I'm a Renaissance man when it comes to the wings.
Right. Right.
It's kind of my thing. Wings are my thing.
All right. Good for you.
Yeah. So it was good.
Any dessert?
He just said he had the slutty brownies.
Slutty brownies. I didn't hear that part. They're fantastic. My family sped through the singing happy birthday because that is my least favorite part of any birthday. Having happy birthday sung to you and candles like that. That part I could do without.
You know, it's a little tradition. It's kind of nice for 20 seconds.
Yeah,
no?
But it's always cringeworthy and awkward.
Because everyone's so bad at singing?
It's just nobody wants to do it. And you feel like you have to do it because it's tradition.
Yeah.
And you're a real Grinch if you tell people not to sing.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's kind of nice. I understand what you mean. It's awkward. It's kind of nice to sing a happy birthday to you. It's your moment. It's your 15 seconds.
Fine.
There has to be another name for that dessert other than slutty brownie.
I'd never heard of that before.
I don't know.
I don't like Kick saying that word. I don't like him saying, hey, Juliet, will you make me some slutty brownies? That just makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I just looked it up, though. They do look delicious.
They're fantastic.
My mom was kind of known for brownies. Like when you guys would come over, she always made brownies. I'd never heard of the slutty brownie.
Your mom's brownies are good, but I think they always had the nizzuts in them. And I'm not the biggest fan of nuts in my brownies.
I don't really like nuts in my brownies either.
I'm more like it's either just plain brownie, or if you're gonna spice it up, you gotta throw some chocolate chips and Oreos in there.
Think about this. Think about how close JP's family was to my family. His mother would make brownies, and she'd leave a strip open with no nuts for me.
Really? That's solid.
That's a close family
there. Sure. That's very nice.
Yeah. Right? Uh-huh. That's like your neighbor.
Yeah.
Your neighbor makes brownies, and she leaves a strip for Eric because he doesn't
like nuts.
Yeah.
Nice custom strip of brownies.
Pretty nice. I like the nuts in there.
To each their own. I get it.
I grew up liking casserole with like potato chips on top.
Well, your mom used to make brownies, but she always had kind of the fudge icing on top.
Yeah, it was a little more mushy maybe. Or sometimes, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, birthday was good. 55, double nickels. Now it's... Now it's just on a bullet train to 60. It's kind of the way I view it.
You're
halfway
just,
through
you're
the 50s decade.
56, 57, 58, 59.
But like
you don't really want to skip that.
Your next like real mile marker is 60.
So I saw a reel, you know, from this like age expert. It popped up. You guys may have seen it. I'm sure it's gone viral. It showed up on my thing, and it said, just stay alive. Do whatever you can to stay alive for 10 more years, okay?
Okay.
Because if you could stay alive for 10 more years.
Make it to 65.
Okay. You're gonna they're gonna extend your life another 5, okay, with all the stuff they can do.
Okay.
If you could stay alive another 15 or 20.
Okay.
You're gonna live to the point where they reverse your aging, and they can reverse you aging.
I'm gonna start going backwards.
Decades.
Really?
By all of what they can do with AI and with genetic whatever.
Okay. All right.
So you gotta at least stay alive for 10 more
10
years.
Or 15
hang around
years.
For
and
progress.
Then they can get you 5 more.
Hanging around.
But if you can stay away, if you can stay alive, I think he said for 15 or 20. They're going to be able to legitimately reverse aging.
Okay.
That's how close they are.
I mean, did you see this on TikTok?
No, or, I don't have TikTok.
Did you see it on Instagram reel?
Yeah, it was one of these guys.
Okay,
he's an anti-aging guy.
I mean, I like the concept, I'm going to raise an eyebrow.
But
think
you
about
saw,
this.
The guys of, you know, whatever, it's his what he studies.
Yeah, but think about this.
Studies aging.
Yeah.
And this is long before our time, but in the grand scheme of things, not that far back.
Yeah.
In the year 1900,
yes.
We were all born in 1970, all right? If you were born in 1900, your average life expectancy was 32 years.
Oh, that's crazy.
And now it's jumped all the way to 78 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So EB's saying, imagine in another 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, maybe it tops out at some point, but in 1900, according to this, you only lived to 32.
So are you telling me that I'm going to make it to the next glimpse of Halley's Comet, 2061?
No.
No, it's kind of what you're saying.
No, because...
like, if I make it to a certain point, then the odometer's going to start ticking backwards.
Well, the thing is, like, I looked at my mom. Like, my mom is really, you know, she's struggling these last few years. It's been really hard on her. She's going to be 89. You know, just losing muscle tone and everything. You know, but she's got a good spirit about her. And I go, they can do all the reverse aging they want. There ain't no way they're going to be able to reverse that. You know what I'm saying? So if we get to that point,
yeah,
it's too late.
Okay, got it.
I think you got to have some vibrancy.
Got to have some vim and vigor.
You got to have some muscle. You got to have something to work with.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I want to buy what you're selling over here.
I'm afraid that by the time they can really knock in the reverse aging, it's going to be too late for us.
That'd
be my guess.
Probably.
I'm going to guess that's some fake news that age 32, 1900.
That sounds, I just Googled it.
Well, Google's full of false information. I mean, think about that. Even if you include the infant mortality rate.
That was
32, maybe 3,000 years ago.
Well, I can tell you this. In my dad's family, my dad was the 9th kid. 4 kids didn't make it till past teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying, you know, living in the village, in the mountains, no hospitals around.
In the United States. Google in the United States. So, like, you're taking third world countries and everything into account.
This says 47.
47? All right. So
still an immense amount of progress.
You're including everyone who died at birth. If you live to age 2, you're probably living to 62, 1900.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either way, it's a lot of progress. If it's 30 or if it's 47, even if it was 60, that would be an incredible amount of progress.
Yeah. I don't know. Listen, it's too late. It's too late for us, even if, you know.
Yeah, this is great news for our kids.
It's good news for
our
kids.
Their kids.
They might have a good shot at it.
Sure.
And maybe some reverse aging. Then always
only problem is they're going to have to work forever.
Yeah, they better have a big nut saved up at the end.
Yeah. Then I always think, man, what if people could live to like 200 or something? And then imagine you get that bad beat where you like die at like 32 in a car accident. You literally, you didn't lose 30 years of your life. You lost 170 years of your life.
Yeah, that's just brutal.
What a brutal
beat.
Yeah,
you're not it's feeling great.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Better hope there's eternity. You do get to eternity quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope. We'll see.
Hey, so you had an Aaliyah Edwards revenge game last night as the Mystics lost.
Well, you'd have to inform me about that, Jim, because I'm not up to date on my. I should be a top
draft choice for the Mystics. She didn't really do anything. I think she scored 8 points. But a couple little sports tidbits. Nathaniel Lowe, who was let go by the Washington Nationals, dud of a year, free agent signing. He was supposed to be great defensively. He wasn't. He was terrible offensively. He hit a game-tying home run for the Red Sox, who he signed with against the Orioles. Orioles ended up winning in extra innings.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that was a little interesting. Some ex-DC players making some noise.
Well, what's going on with the Howard Stern rumor? So the rumor mill was that Howard was, I guess they were, I don't know. The thing is Howard manipulates contract negotiations every time, every 5 years. Has this been a big work that we've all just
I'll be honest, I don't know the latest in the saga.
Well, I mean, if you read about it, it says it looks like maybe he's on the verge of a big new deal with Sirius. And that, you know, he had, I guess, flirtations with, we had mentioned Netflix and HBO and maybe some others. This is kind of what he does, is he threatens to leave. Was this all this news that came out? Was this a big work from Stern's people?
I don't know if it was a big work or just bad reporting by whoever said. And again, this is also, this new report is coming from Radar Online. Okay. I don't know if they're the...
They have been along for a long time.
Like, they have, but they know how to get clicks.
Yeah.
I mean, why would... It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me why Sirius would give him a mega deal.
Well,
at this state of what happened with media companies, where Howard's at in his career, the amount of people that have stopped listening, probably.
I think the last... When they were leaking stuff, they said his audience was down to 133,000, which they never released those kind of figures on satellite. You know, when they said 20 million, if he ever had 20 million, it's awfully inflated. It was when he was with CBS and he was nationally syndicated.
Right.
He never had 20 million with Sirius.
Yeah, even when like Sirius and XM joined forces, I would be shocked if the number was that high.
No, he never had that many.
But I'm not surprised if it was a lot of posturing.
Yeah, but it was really reported poorly if that's the case. If it was, you know, Howard's people leaking it. I don't know. If it's true and he locks up another big deal, God only knows how much he would get. I'm sure he wouldn't get $100 million a year. But if he locks up another big deal, one's managed his career better than this guy.
He'll be 72 soon.
He's just a full, but he's world grinder.
He just loves the voice. He loves the AADs. He's got to leave on his own terms. I've always thought he would be a lifer.
I actually feel like he's irrelevant in this world now.
Totally irrelevant.
Like, if he was on YouTube and just offered a free show at this point in his career,
he'd be way better.
He would be so much more famous. He would get all his ADs back.
But he probably wouldn't be able to get the mega dollars.
I mean, when's the last time you saw a clip of Howard Stern's show? Never.
It's been a while.
You don't. Like, right? The last time you would, it was like when he would have like Lady Gaga on.
You just never, you never see.
Because all, Well, he barely works. He works for his basement. He's got a great gig. Well, I would want to keep doing it too.
Maybe he has 12 or 15 weeks of vacation a year.
3 days a week, 25 weeks a year. They pay $100 million from your basement.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
He can do that on YouTube.
Oh, no, he totally could, but he can't monetize it the way.
I know, he's botching it. I think.
Now again, as people have pointed out, and it is true, when these big numbers that they throw out there for Stern, he has to, my understanding has always been, it's been reported, that he has to pay the production costs. So the production costs come from that. But at this point, his production is very little.
Hey, happy.
It's like him in his basement and like Robin in a studio somewhere.
Happy National Radio Day. We have our own day. I didn't know if you guys were aware.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a thing. I mean, I don't know what you do to celebrate it, but I mean, it's an actual thing.
I know, it'd be nice if people actually listen to him again.
That would be nice. Sure.
People actually turned him on.
It'd be fantastic.
I had some guy yesterday just distraught that he wasn't getting the monumental feed correctly or something. Okay. Something was happening, and You know, I was like, dude, you could actually listen to the radio.
That's it is an option.
You know,
here's it's a concept.
The number one seed.
Live radio.
Yeah. And actually turn your radio on, bud.
Hey, you can actually call us too at 1-800-636-1067. That's the same number for the Lido Pizza text line. Lido Pizza's a local favorite since 1955, serving pizzas, subs, jumbo wings, and salads. Lido Pizza Square, because Lido Pizza never cuts corners. For locations or to place your order, go to LidoPizza.com. You can text us at 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. We're the Junkies. Be right back.
Obsessed with true crime cults or conspiracy theories? Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes is a weekly podcast from Crime House and Pave Studios that dives into the darkest corners of human behavior. Every Wednesday, we uncover the true stories behind the world's most shocking crimes, deadly ideologies, and secret plots. Follow and listen to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Greg Doyle's going to join us a little bit later in the show from the Indy Star. Daniel Jones has been named the starter for the Indianapolis Colts over Anthony Richardson, who they drafted number four a couple seasons ago overall. That's a big whiff if Anthony Richardson doesn't work out, but they were kind of rolling the dice drafting him that high. He had 13 college starts.
Yeah. I mean, Warren Sharp had some stats on Anthony Richardson. We've had Warren Sharp on the show many times. I mean, you're not going to find a guy who knows more than football about him. And just the first stat jumps out at you. 55 quarterbacks have 175 attempts the last 2 years. Anthony Richardson ranks 55th in accuracy out of 55, 55th out of 55 in completion rate, and 50th of 55 in touchdown to interception ratio.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's not working out. Like, they took a big swing with a guy with insane, you know, athletic traits and not a lot of experience, and
he should have.
At this point, it just has not worked out for them.
They should have. Honestly, he's a perfect case for old school development.
Mm-hmm.
Draft him, let him sit for 2 years, learn under a wily veteran, to hone your skills.
The Jordan Love treatment.
Yeah, yeah. Give him the Jordan Love
treatment. Still, think about this, he's still younger than Shador Sanders.
Right. Yeah, I think he's only 23, right?
He's a young buck.
You know what? He needs a change of scenery.
Somebody said the Steelers. Now, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is so generous with his time. There have been reports where he wouldn't help his underlings, like even Jordan Love, I think, right? But somebody like that, get him somewhere, because the athletic traits are off the charts. Is he a work ethic guy? Do we know that? Like, is there he were one of those
there
guys?
There were reports last year that his work ethic wasn't the best, but supposedly he stepped up in that department.
I don't know about his work ethic, but he did pull himself from a game because he was tired.
Yeah, that was last season, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was last season.
Yeah, that was not a great look.
Not a great look.
Look, you still have a good work ethic and still get tired, but
yeah,
not a good look.
I even wonder, dare I say, no one has ever insinuated this that I know of, but I mean, I'll just get slammed for this. But is Brian Robinson a work ethic guy? Is he a guy that's like 100% all in?
I don't know. I don't think there have been any whispers about him not being a hard worker. It seemed
to be something that you could, if you grind, you could work through. You know, like hitting the hole slowly, not making reads. I don't know. Maybe that might not be fair.
I think that's more instinctive. Yeah. Than like something
that sounds.
You work
that,
on
yeah, and, that like, sounds like a style.
Like you either have that or you don't. He's been
running like that his entire life,
yeah.
And it's kind of hard for
it's going to be hard to change that.
I'll defer to you. I'm not going to die on that mountain. I'll defer. I'll say, okay.
I think it's hard to know who is and who isn't work ethic guys.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you know if a team puts
there,
a,
for sure.
If you know if a team puts a clause in your contract like Kyler Murray about studying,
yeah,
about you're probably a work ethic guy.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. You need work ethic. Yeah.
Yes.
Like, I could sit, but I was thinking of it in the positive manner. Like, you know, like, Jaden Daniels is a work ethic guy. Like, he's in there 5 a.m.
Nobody's questioning
but
that.
I'd say 95% of the players in the league, no one knows if they're work ethic guys.
You don't know. But when they keep having the same criticisms and you don't fix it, either it's just, yeah, it's this something you can't fix.
And look, like certain systems might be okay with him shifting around and finding a spot. I mean, Le'Veon Bell made a great career out of being kind of a shifty, slinky guy, not always being at top speed.
And it could be a square peg and round hole thing.
Right.
You know, the line, they want the line to block this certain way where it's designed for, you know, one cut go and as opposed to finding the hole and then going from there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just sometimes players don't mesh with the system.
So talk to Greg Doyle. Sure. That's a little bit later in the show, coming up at 8:45. Let's open up the Junkie Sports page, and we can start with some quarterback news. Like I said, Daniel Jones is going to start for the Cowboys. The Colts. Anthony Richardson's agent has chimed in. His agent is named Derek Jackson, and he wondered aloud whether Shane Steichen's quarterback decision might have been predetermined when the Colts signed Jones to a one-year, $14 million contract in March. Jackson told ESPN, "We have a lot to discuss. Trust is a big factor, and that is, at best, questionable right now."
Look, the best thing, obviously, for the Colts would be for them to take the patient approach with Anthony Richardson, but Steichen's got to put the guy who he feels like gives them the best chance to win every week. Like, so he feels like Daniel Jones is the guy. I'm sure if he felt that Anthony Richardson was the better player, he would play him. He doesn't think that. He thinks right now Daniel Jones is more developed, further along, and gives them a better chance of winning games. Now, I don't think you're going to win a lot of games with Daniel Jones at quarterback. Like, that smacks of an 8 or 9 win season, maybe. Maybe.
What do you think Shane Steichen's record has been in Indianapolis? He's been there for 2 seasons.
2 years.
I was a little surprised to see this.
I'd put him around 500, a game or two around 500.
Exactly 500.
So he's at 500.
Okay. 9-8 his first year, 8-9 his next season.
Yeah.
So you said, yeah, Daniel Jones gets you to 8 or 9 wins. Seems to be what Shane Steichen specializes in.
I mean, they might also have 5 or 6 wins, which is not good for anybody there in the front office or in the coaching business.
I, for one, am curious to see, how Daniel Jones performs. I've seen glimpses where he's played really well. We'll see.
If I were Shane Steichen, I'd be calling a lot of running plays for Jonathan Taylor. I'd be majoring in Jonathan Taylor and sprinkling in some Daniel Jones to try to win games.
Our pal RG3 is convinced that the Colts are tanking for Arch Manning.
Well, I don't believe that. I don't think you think the Colts are going to be in the same neighborhood as teams like the Saints and the Browns and the Titans? I don't think they're going to be that bad. But, I mean, maybe things just do go belly up for them and they're like a 3-win team. But I don't see that, because weren't they flirting with a playoff spot last year?
Mm-hmm.
Or did they even make I don't think they made it, but they had a decent record. They were there at the end. They were there at the end and just didn't miss out on the playoffs. I'd be shocked if they were picking number one overall next year.
So in Cleveland, Joe Flacco has been named the starter, of course. And he just says, it's business as usual. Go out there, get another good practice in, get some rest with the guys, and continue to work towards what we've all been all training camp. Everybody's going to wonder who's going to be the number two. Like, when are they going to release the depth chart?
Yeah, they haven't done that yet.
We got one more preseason game.
Yeah. My guess is it would probably be pretty similar. It'll be Pickett to Gabriel.
He hasn't been
three.
Practicing, though.
Okay, so they're going to put, maybe they'll put him on the pup list. So he missed the first 6 weeks or something, 4 weeks.
And Shedeur Sanders is currently not practicing.
By the way, Flacco, he slings it. If you look at his game logs just from last season with the Browns, he had games with attempts of 40, 38, 38, and 44. Like, they're not shy about throwing it with Joe Flacco. Like, they let him just rip it. Now, he's going to throw some picks. I mean, he had a game with 3 picks. He had another game with multiple picks. He had 12 touchdowns against 7 picks in limited action in 2024. But they'll let him go out there and rip it. They don't care. They're not just having him hand off the ball, 35-plus times per game.
He's proven to be productive at times. He's even proven in his later years that he could be highly productive.
Yeah, I mean, he had one,
can be hit
two,
or miss, but
he had 4 2 touchdown games and a 3-touchdown game in that span.
Yep. Experienced guy, big arm, smart. Yeah, why not?
Now he's going to get sacked a lot and he's going to throw some picks.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to live with that if he's going to be your starter.
Right.
Because, hello, he's 40. Joe Flacco, 40, still getting starts in the NFL.
Yeah.
Good for him.
But not the oldest quarterback in the league.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep. Saints quarterback. They haven't made the call yet on their starting quarterback. As Cake said, they could be horrible this year. Kellen Moore said the competition between the rookie, Tyler Shuck, and Spencer Rattler has been very close, and they want to continue it through the next week. He said it's really, really close. Numbers, experiences, reps, everything. It's going all the way back to the start of training camp. Everything is very, very close between this group.
By the way, has Arch Manning softened on his stance that he's not, or Archie Manning talking about Arch Manning not coming out for the 2026 draft?
Well, I think he was asked about it yesterday, right? And I guess he said it was still up in the air.
Because that would be...
Like the kid was asked.
It would be perfect for Arch Manning to go number one to the Saints.
If he's ready.
If he's ready, sure.
Again, I mean, if he gets drafted, he'll be in a very similar boat. Now, he's been tutelaged by some of the greats in the game, but then Anthony Richardson, right? He'll have like a dozen starts.
That's true.
And then you're throw him to the Wolves, you know.
Yeah, but I'd be willing to gamble on the Manning pedigree.
I understand.
I'm willing to make that gamble.
It's a big leap, though. I just think the more, the better. Part of the reasons why Jaden Daniels is who he is because all the starts he had in college.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But if you're telling me, if you're the Saints and you are one of the dregs of the league, you're telling me I can get a Manning, I'm going to sign up for getting a Manning.
Yeah.
Even if he's not fully cooked in the oven yet.
He might
be. If it's still a project.
He might be like a quarter of the way cooked, Cakes.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think they're in the position to take that swing.
Well, I need to see more.
Well, I need to see what he does this year for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
He needs to have a good season
to
back up that number one draft ranking. He's going to be a top. If I'm running the Saints, he's atop my draft board right now.
Yeah.
As of right now.
Well, maybe suck for 2 years. Maybe getting a shot at him. It might be better.
I think if everything goes according to plan, the Saints are going to be bad for at least a year, if not two.
Yeah, yeah.
If they don't get some help at quarterback.
All right, Dallas has issues with Micah Parsons. Adam Schefter predicted that the Cowboys and Parsons were headed towards a divorce. But longtime NFL reporter Josina Anderson apparently talked to a bunch of people. Schefter said headed for divorce.
Wow.
Josina Anderson, though, counters it by saying, I did not detect any obvious tones of concern in my sourced conversation when I recently asked about Schefter's report stating he sees these both sides are headed towards a divorce. I just feel Dallas has so much history with protracted and sensitive negotiations. Thus, my current impression is the club remains unrattled at this time.
Right.
Seems like she couched a lot of things, but she's basically refuting.
Yeah, she's refuting just based on sort of her feel for, you know, previous contract negotiations.
Well, she's also saying that she's talked to sources.
And she hasn't gotten that sense.
Yes. Hard Knocks, I guess, is back on, and apparently some people are grossed out.
I haven't watched one
from
second
moment of the latest Hard Knocks.
I am officially over Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
Have been for a while now, but right now, there's nothing that's going to get me to tune into Buffalo Bills offseason Hard Knocks.
So the Bills are the subject of the training camp edition, and one of their rookies, Maxwell Hairston, got a gross welcome to the NFL moment courtesy of Tre'Davious White.
Okay.
Apparently, people were grossed out because White was wringing out his sweaty socks and could fill basically a coffee mug with his sweaty socks. Sweat.
Sounds like he needs some moisture-wicking socks up there in Buffalo.
Right.
That's not great.
I could have done that.
Farley to send him some features.
Features are so silly.
What are features?
Features spelled F-E-E-T-U-R-E-S.
Right, and what are those?
Well,
special
they're,
socks?
They're fantastic, like $15 socks.
You got them on right now.
What makes them so special?
For running dorks.
They're thin. They feel like compression all over it.
Yeah, they're so good.
Are there any, is there padding in there?
Comfortable. No padding.
Do you know how much better those are than, like, if you go to TJ Maxx, which I know you do, or Marshall's, and you buy, like, the 8-pack of socks for $6 from Puma or Reebok? You know how much better those are?
Eric, you got, so much better. You got to get these for golf when you walk 18.
I feel like I need some padding.
It'll change your life.
I'm going to throw out a name.
I'm allowed to try it because my feet are bothering me.
This was the sock king back in the day. Drab, you're going to know this name too.
Thorlow.
If you played tennis back in the day, if you had Thorlow socks, you were a baller.
Well,
I think they're probably still in the sock game. I mean, what else are they?
They were like padded socks.
You want me to take one? Want me to take one off and put it on your stinky feet?
No.
You can test drive them?
No. First of all, no, you wouldn't want to put it back on your foot.
Well, now you know that Farley's just going to send you at least a pair or two.
Yeah.
He's going to hook you.
Yeah, I mean, I do need something because the padding of my feet is getting inflamed. You know, like right underneath the toes.
You need better hosiery.
I do. I've been a little secret. I've been wearing compression socks to sleep lately.
You have? That's a really old guy move.
I know.
You just raised the stakes over there, my friend.
I started it because I got some for my mom. And okay. I said,
you and your 89-year-old mom are sharing socks.
I got some for my mom. No, and then I bought a pair for myself. So I said, let me try it. And I don't know. I kind of like it.
You guys share prune juice together too?
That would feel like a boa constrictor was sleeping on my foot.
No, it's not
just
that bad.
Just gripping your lower extremity so
tightly.
It's
not tightly. That bad. It feels kind of good, to be honest with you.
If I lay down in a bed with socks on, I would never fall asleep.
Yeah.
Never.
I can't either.
Socks unless have gotta come off.
Unless I'm sick. That's when I know I'm sick, if I'm sleeping with socks.
Socks, and also, when I go to a hotel, I have to take the comforter and pry it off the top of the bed because...
Can't sleep in with the tuck.
The maids, they tuck so aggressively.
I don't like that either.
They Justin tuck those comforters in.
Yeah.
I mean, they... Like Lou Ferrigno would. I know that's an old reference.
First thing I do, any bed... Kick the feet out.
Oh.
Gotta have the feet out. Gotta be able to move around.
Gotta do it.
Yeah.
Hey, our NFL Talk on the Fan presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we're going to hit the skins. Some rumors, a big rumor about a Terry McLaurin deal that we'll talk about.
Like rumors.
That's coming up at 7 o'clock as we talk training camp. Our training camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. This is how you know the NFL season is almost upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think tomorrow would mark 2 weeks from the opener.
Right.
The Commanders officially only have 2 more days of training camp.
Training camp is almost done. It's almost finished.
Then it's just practice.
Yeah, when is the last game?
Saturday,
and then there's 2 weeks off?
Yep.
2 weeks off. I don't love the 2 weeks off. It just feels interminable.
Yeah.
It's such a long wait.
Yeah, but we have college football that's going to fill that gap, right?
We do have college football. That is true.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. I was just reading to the boys. I know you guys. I'm just, you know, bear with me. But, you know, we had Dylan Lauby on the show last year. He's a Long Island guy that, you know, a lot of mutual friends with. And just a really nice kid. And he made the Raiders last year. New coaching staff. And Vinny and Joe keep sending me the updates. And when camp started, it was looking bleak. Pete Carroll admitted he didn't even know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But now they're saying the pride of West Hampton, New York, he's done is kept his head down, his mouth shut, and played like a straight-up vigilante trying to destroy anyone getting in the way of his NFL dream. Like a rabid dog, the pint-sized baller has taken it to defensive linemen, linebackers, and everybody trying to get in his way as a roster spot. This is just a kid trying to make the 53rd spot on the roster.
Is that Vinny and Joe doing the bio, or who's
No, I don't know where this is coming from.
He's a pint-sized terror. He's going to make the squad.
I don't know where this is coming from. I have to look it up. But they say what you
the
want.
The Long Island Gazette.
Maybe. Say what you want about Lauby. It's inside that tiny frame is the heart of Mike Tyson. And they say that the coaching staff has fallen in love with him. He's getting first team special teams reps.
Let Pete Carroll know who I am.
Yeah. He's getting a few carries.
Mm-hmm.
I think he had one kickoff return. So he's looking like he's going to secure a roster spot. Let's cross your fingers.
Very good.
He's just a nice kid. And we had him on the show last year, and we had him on the Tales from the Foxy Gator.
I mean, not to be insensitive or a jerk, but I'm more concerned with how Ashton Jeanty is going to fare in the Raiders offense.
Like, I understand.
Is he going to be like LaDainian Tomlinson? Is he going to get that sort of workload? Like, is he going to be a guy that touches the ball 25 times per game?
Well, we will see.
Between passing, receiving, and rushing the ball.
I'm just giving you an underdog story to root for.
Understood.
That's all I am.
I'm pulling for the kid. So hope he makes the team.
So John Wall announced his retirement, yeah? And I think he hasn't played in a couple years. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I always loved rooting for John. John did the show a few times. Every time he came on, there was a rawness to him. Not that dissimilar, actually, from Brian Robinson. There was like a rawness to John Wall. He just made you root for him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
He was easy to root for.
You really felt like he put his heart on the line. But I have to say, we have an image. We have of John when you first walk back here to our corner of the studios back here. The John Wall Reebok deal that he had. Those Reeboks might be the worst basketball shoes in the history of basketball shoes.
In terms of look?
They're not great.
No, because I got a pair. Feel. You guys might have got a pair. They were the cheapest. I mean, I wish I could describe them to you. They were hot garbage.
Yeah, I don't think he had Reeboks his entire career.
Not at all.
He probably realized, well, these are trash. I was the number one overall pick.
You're going to have to look them up. They were the blue and red stripes, obviously.
Yeah.
But they were the cheapest basketball shoes you've ever seen. And I honestly think you'd get injured in them. I can't believe he played in them.
He must have been getting paid a boatload to wear
them.
He
had so much to play in those.
Yeah.
They look like, I had a pair, like plastic, just crap. They were the worst shoes
of
all
time. If I remember
right,
it was a big deal when he signed with Reebok. He signed a 5-year, $25 million deal.
Yeah.
And then they were probably
trying to build around him or something. But
they put out those zigzag shoes.
Yeah.
And they were awful. And then he switched to Adidas.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, did anybody say, hey, I got the new John Wall Reebok?
People were wearing them around here.
Yeah. You should see.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I wore them because they were free.
Yeah.
They were the cheapest shoes you've ever seen.
You can buy a pair on eBay for $50
now.
Wow,
look at you.
You can?
You won't buy a pair.
Dude,
no. I'd rather wear clogs.
Yeah.
They're not worth it. They're not even worth $5.
Here's my question.
They were heinous.
Here's my question. I'm going to put this up as the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. The perfect addition to any gathering. Each can's only 100 calories with zero carbonation for easy sipping. Find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Was John Wall a success in Washington?
I'd say so. I mean, they never had a huge...
Yes.
Postseason success.
I'd definitely vote yes.
He had a great career. He had a great career, relatively speaking. You look at, the average career. He had a great career.
He had as good a career as he could have playing for just a rudderless franchise throughout his time.
So not a disappointment, because he never led them to an Eastern Conference Finals. He's the number one pick in the draft.
There's only so much he could do,
bud. I mean, do you want him to do those things? Of course. But I don't think you view him... overall as a disappointment.
I think he goes down as a Wizards legend. It's a pretty weak list, but he is.
Yeah,
he's a Wizards
he's
legend.
He's probably Wizards royalty.
He deserves some sort of jersey retirement or something.
Recognition from the franchise.
I don't know what it is. I'm not saying a statue. He didn't deserve a statue.
No, I mean, he's not level.
Maybe a mural inside Cab 1.
A mural. That'd be fine. That'd be nice. But you have to promise to not to paint over it in 2 years. Like, he, you know.
Yeah. I mean, please respect
John.
The
John, it'd be
right next to the Koulibaly one Giggs wants to put up.
For Amadeus, I would say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. He was here 10 years. Pretty much almost the entire time. Kind of a heart and soul guy. I mean, you had Beal and the other guys that could play, but he was like the heart of it for like a decade.
I would say a moderate success. I would vote success, but I kind of feel like a disappointment too, because when you have the number one pick and he was so dynamic, you would think that you could lift them up and maybe make a run at the finals at one point. And yeah, the closest they got was the second round.
I know. I'm not going to hold it against them. I don't think it was all because of John. I think John pretty much laid it on the line. You know, limited us to some extent. Unbelievable from, you know, in a fast break situation. I don't know. Super athletic. I don't know. I loved watching John play in the prime of his career when there wasn't a lot to really look forward to.
And he's a super passionate guy. Tell that he actually cared.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he wasn't as good as Gilbert Arenas was at his height.
Gilbert was better. All right, Gilbert was more prolific.
I remember
scorer.
Vividly, JP always going at you guys, telling you guys every day that John Wall was not a top five point guard. Like, this is like 2014, 2015.
Yeah. I don't think he ever was.
I don't know where he ranks and all that. I don't care. He was the heart and soul of that team. And, you know, he was a point guard. He was more of a point guard than they are today. It wasn't like a Gilbert point guard.
I just remember at media day taking an awful picture with him and blue shorts where I scrunched up my face and my seven chins. And John Wall looked like he wanted to be anywhere else on the planet but right. taking that photo with me in blue shorts.
Right.
After like, I missed dunking on a trampoline.
Like, peak John Wall in the prime of his career. Didn't he win the dunk contest?
I think he won a weird version.
He won a weird
they
version.
They did a weird version.
But that's when, I mean, that was like peak John Wall. That was like when John Wall was at the sort of the height of his powers. And he was, you know, I think I heard yesterday that he, maybe the best he did, but he was a third team all NBA guy at one point. Dude, he was a great player. They don't really have that many jerseys retired, right?
The Wiz?
Yeah, they don't really, do they?
Well, I mean, they have Wes is right, one. Right. Who else?
I don't think they have a ton.
10, 11, 25, 41, 45.
Is Chenier?
Monroe, Hayes, Johnson, Unseld, Chenier.
Okay. Not a lot.
I always remember John Feinstein didn't really.
He was always against John Wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that from? Was it dating back to college, right? He had some issue with him in college almost.
I think John thinks NBA point guards are kind of like running backs.
Well, remember you're onto something. Remember he thought they should have taken somebody else.
Remember, in the Wall draft?
Yeah, like he didn't like well, John.
Was it Evan Turner?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Evan Turner. It might even have been. He might have predicted that a point guard was going to be better than him. It was something, and that guy didn't pan out either.
Right.
And people held it against John.
Well, Evan Turner was in the same draft as John Wall.
Yeah, but
right?
It's not Evan Turner.
Okay, got
it's
it.
It's not Evan Turner.
Right?
No, there was definitely something in college, and there was definitely something that John always held against Wall. And I think it kind of came back to haunt him a little bit because Wall had a very solid NBA career, and the guy he was hyping up never really panned out. I can't remember who that was.
I know Colin Cowherd didn't like that his first game he did the Dougie.
He was not a fan.
Which really irked Cakes.
Oh, my God. That is so irritating.
I've hated Colin Cowherd
ever
from
since
that day on.
That take is
never,
so irritating.
I'll never let that go.
Listen, Colin Cowherd has some good stuff. That was an irritating take.
He's John Feinstein said on this show, the best, quote, the best players on the Washington Wizards, in my opinion, are Bradley Beal, Gortat, and Nene.
Nene Hilario.
I mean, I love those guys, but I mean, come on. No, someone has to remind us. Tweet us.
Isn't it Raymond Felton? Didn't he like Raymond Felton a lot or something like that?
Could have been. Can somebody please tweet us who John was hyping up instead of John Wall?
Let us know.
I feel like it was a Duke kid.
It might
Maybe not. Maybe it was another North Carolina. I don't know. But there was definitely somebody. You know what? Maybe it was a North Carolina kid.
Well, it's a 2010 draft, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but it wasn't necessarily that draft class. It might have been the class, you know, a kid that stayed in school.
Anyway, you can vote at Junks Radio in our poll of the day. Would you say that John Wall's run here in D.C. was successful or a disappointment? I can make an argument for both. Junks Radio, at Junks Radio, if you want to vote. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes, a Crime House original podcast to uncover the world's darkest secrets. Find Conspiracy Theories, Cults, and Crimes wherever you get your podcasts.